This is the Ingles Information Aisle with Leah McGrath, helping you eat healthy, feel great, and understand your nutrition. Now, here's your host, Ingles dietitian Leah McGrath.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah McGrath, your Ingles dietitian. And today I want to introduce you to somebody that I kind of became aware of on social media as a fitness person who really tries to promote good information about nutrition, about science. And so I kind of reached out to her, and I am pleased that she has agreed to be on the show today to talk a little bit more about fitness and how she got into this space, and also why it's important to her to communicate accurate information about science and nutrition in the fitness realm. So joining me from California is Maria. So Maria, would you want to introduce yourself?
Hi, everybody. My name is Maria Brilaki. I'm the founder of fitnessreloaded.com, where I help people create better habits, and the author of Surprisingly Unstuck, The Power of Small Healthy Habits in a World Addicted to Instant Results. And thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, you're welcome. So we talked a little bit yesterday in preparation for the show, and you told me some really interesting things. But of course, we want to mention, like, everybody has, of course, noticed that you have an accent. So that's not a California accent, right?
No, it's not.
Where are you from, Maria?
So I'm from Greece, and I have been in the United States for 9 years already. I came here to do my graduate studies at Stanford, and my background is in engineering.
So did you work in engineering after you got your graduate degree?
So I have worked a bit, but after I got my graduate degree, I actually did an MBA. And during that time is when I actually started Fitness Reloaded.
Okay. So you told me some interesting things about why you got involved into the fitness space. And can you share them, the reason why it became important for you to personally, first of all, to kind of look at your health habits and your fitness habits?
So when I was at Stanford, I gained weight. And this is what was troubling me at the time. It was not so much the fact that I, you know, the extra weight, but it was me realizing that if I kept on like this, then in 10 years' time, I would be overweight at the minimum, obese most likely, and it would be because I had worse habits, like I was exercising less, and I went from like cooking at home to mostly eating out. So it was not, I didn't gain weight because, let's say, my hormones were messed up. It was because my habits were worsened. So that's what I realized, and that's what drew my attention to the subject. Because I didn't just care about, let's say, losing the weight. That was the small problem. The big problem was not finding myself in the same situation, let's say 3 or 5 years down the road, thinking again, oh, I've gained weight and I need to lose it.
Right.
So I wanted to, you know, whatever it was that I would do to, you know, make it last. And that's how I got attracted to studying habits in particular. And that's what led to fitness. Later on.
So, Maria, before you kind of got into this space of like being fitnessreloaded.com, what were you doing in terms of exercise? So, were you exercising at all, or not much, or?
So, at the time, I was exercising, but not consistently.
Oh, okay.
So sometimes I wouldn't go to the gym. Sometimes I'll go once a week. Sometimes twice. So I was not like in a routine the way I wanted, you know, exercise to be a routine for me. And that's where I was, yeah.
Okay. So I think you're...
I went from being like very inconsistent between 0 or 2 times a week to working out 5 times a week.
So did that start to make a difference in how you felt? I don't want to focus just on weight, but did you feel better when you started doing that?
Absolutely. But I did gradually, like I didn't do it with big jumps.
Okay. So I want to mention too that if you want to follow Maria, her website is fitnessreloaded.com, and you're also on Twitter it's Fit Reloaded, right?
Correct.
Fit Reloaded on Twitter. And you can find that Maria posts a lot of great information. And I want to talk more as we move along, Maria, about some of your the mini habits and what that means, and some examples of mini habits for people that kind of can get you into like more longer term habits, because that's kind of what you're saying, right? The goal is that you want to do things that you enjoy, but make them a habit that you can stick with, right?
Yes. So the power behind like really small habits is that they are not overwhelming at all.
Right.
And this is a problem in many cases because people think they're too small, so they don't want to do them anyway.
Right.
Because they think they're too small. Like, for instance, if I told you to, let's say, do 2 push-ups today.
Okay.
And let's say you're not exercising at all. You'll be like, why would I even do this? Because 2 push-ups are not going to make you thin. They're not really going to make big difference in your physique. So most people would rather do 0 push-ups than 2 push-ups, for instance. But the thing is that if you start with those like really, really, really small habits, what happens is that you soon find out that you forget to stop.
Oh, okay.
You started out with 2 push-ups and you're on the floor and you're doing them, and then you're like, okay, 3, 4, 5. So it just keeps up. And what happens is that it changes your view, let's say, about exercise. So before, exercise was something that was overwhelming, something that you had to plan. And now it's something that you actually enjoy. Like, you find yourself forgetting to stop because you actually are into that thing that you're doing.
Yeah.
So before, you used to be afraid of exercise. And look at you now. You just keep on doing this.
So we're going to keep talking with Maria of fitnessreloaded.com. Stay tuned to the Ingles Information Aisle. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Aisle. This is Leah, your Ingles dietitian, and I am speaking with Maria of Fitness Reloaded. Maria, I wanted to give a run at your last name, but I didn't want to embarrass myself or you. So can you say it again?
It's Brilaki.
Brilaki.
Correct.
Is that right? Okay. So Maria has a website called fitnessreloaded.com, and you can find a lot of great information on there. She actually has a blog where there's some really good articles posted that are, I would say, in many ways, Maria, not the typical fitness page. So you really seem to not make all these like, I don't know, there's no fear mongering I can see here. You really kind of rely on science and nutrition. Do you feel like you're different than some of the other spaces that like blogs that are out there and websites that are out there?
I certainly feel that. Yes.
Yeah. Because I think you are. you sort of have a different slant. And we talked about the fact that you really seem to want to follow and promote the science. How did you get started doing that?
My inspiration actually came from Yvette, the Psy Babe, when she wrote the takedown of the Food Babe a couple of years ago. This is what attracted my attention to science and nutrition in particular. Before that, I was mostly not getting involved in the subject, and I was focusing on habits specifically and how to make a behavior second nature for you.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I got into it. And once I got into it, I have to say I got sucked into it.
Because I'm sure it's a constant part, like questions. You probably get questions all the time about food and nutrition, right?
I do. And another reason I'm passionate about this is that fads and generally unscientific information distracts people from what actually works.
Sure.
So it's not that, let's say, you're just wasting your time because the thing you're doing doesn't really work. It's also the opportunity cost that you could be doing something that can actually move the needle.
Yeah. It just seems like there's so much going on right now that even as a dietitian, it's kind of overwhelming to me. So I can't even imagine what the typical consumer is going through. Because on the one hand, you hear all this about you got to eat more protein, 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 protein. And on the other hand, it's like plant-based. You got to do plant-based. And then somebody else is saying no sugar, sugar-free. I mean, it is just this constant barrage of messages about what you should and shouldn't be doing. I think it's kind of overwhelming. Is how do you feel about all that?
I agree with you. I think it's completely overwhelming, and I think it makes people want to quit.
Yeah.
Or do whatever, because they feel like they don't really know what they should be doing because they receive all those different messages.
Yeah.
And maybe they pick up some things from each one of those different nutrition pumps.
Right.
But they don't really have a science-based, let's say, strategy that, you know, will make them feel confident in their choices.
Well, I see you do have some information about, speaking about sugar, you have a blog post. And some of the blog posts are by you and some of them are by others, right?
Most of them are by me, but sometimes I have articles from other people too.
Okay. Yep. So there's one in here about a no sugar diet. And, you
yes.
know, that's one of those things. I mean, you know, as a dietitian, I know that there's sugar in fresh fruits. There's sugar in, like, beans have a form of sugar in them, which are very healthy for us to be eating or for most people to be eating. I mean, I don't want people not to eat fruit or beans or dairy products. So that whole no sugar thing just makes me a little crazy. How do you feel about that?
I cannot say that, you know, something in particular makes me crazy. I think trying to follow one of those things will make the person who's trying to follow them crazy. Like, I cannot imagine, let's say, taking the no sugar thing very seriously and, let's say, even cutting out fruit and not feeling like, you know, the effects of restriction.
Right.
Because this is severe restriction.
Right.
So I think lots of people are going crazy by trying to follow one of those things.
Right. Now, as somebody who grew up in Greece and then moved to the United States, did your eating habits change when you moved from Greece to the United States?
Absolutely, and that was one of the reasons I gained weight.
Okay, uh-huh. How is it different?
That's actually very common for people who moved from Greece to gain weight when they come here. So when I was telling my friends at the time that I gained weight, they were like, oh, yeah, that's expected. Like, all of us did that. And
really?
I was like, why didn't you tell me earlier?
How were your eating habits different when you were in Greece? Because you lived in Crete, right? That's where you were living at the time before you moved here?
I grew up in Crete, and then I did my undergrad in a different place in Greece.
Okay.
And then I came here. So right now, what I'm eating, I would say, is better than what I used to eat before I came here.
Sure.
But at the time when I came here, I was definitely eating worse, mostly because I was eating bigger portions. I was gradually getting adjusted to it because
sure.
here everything is just bigger. And also I went from eating a lot of legumes and beans and lentils to pretty much never eating them here.
Right.
And eating out a lot, like in restaurants instead of cooking at home.
I remember years ago when I lived in Spain for a while, and there were ice cream shops and gelato shops, but the serving that you would get was like, it might have been the equivalent like of like 2 or 3 tablespoons of ice cream. It was a really, really small scoop. And I remember the first time I went and I was like, it was like a child size scoop from what I was used to in the United States. Because here in the United States, a lot of times if you go out for ice cream, the portion is enormous, right? It's a huge, it's more like 2 cups of ice cream you get. Stay tuned. We're talking with Maria of Fitness Reloaded, fitnessreloaded.com. You can find her on Twitter as Fit Reloaded. So we're going to be talking more about some small habits that you can adopt that may make some big results. Welcome back to the Ingles Information Hour. This is Leah, the Ingles Dietitian. I'm talking today with Maria of Fitness Reloaded, fitnessreloaded.com. She got into the space of fitness and blogging and being in social media. And Maria, are you on Instagram as well?
I am on Instagram. It's Fitness Reloaded.
And Facebook too, right?
Correct. Yes, it's Fitness Re. But if people search for Fitness Reloaded, they're going to find me.
Okay. And you also have a book. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, so the book is called Surprisingly Unstuck, The Power of Small Healthy Habits in a World Addicted to Instant Results. And it goes over how to create better healthy habits.
And
Mostly like exercising more or eating better. By starting really small. So you can always start big if you want to, but starting small is mostly the subject of the book.
So earlier and you gave us an example of like a small exercise habit of just starting out with doing 2 push-ups a day, which doesn't sound like, or 2 squats a day, which doesn't sound like a lot, but I think I know if you would commit just to doing 2, then like you said, then maybe you're going to go, well, 2, I can do more than 2. And then you end up doing 3 or 4 or 5 and then increasing that. So you're doing that every day. What would be a food habit, a mini habit that you would want people to try?
So let's say you want to increase your vegetable intake, and you're saying you need to eat more salads and things like that, but you end up not doing that.
Right.
Okay? This is like the situation many people find themselves in. You could start out by eating, let's say, 1 baby carrot.
Oh, okay.
So baby carrots, especially here in the United States, that you can buy them in bags and they're already cleaned, like you don't need to wash them or anything.
Right.
So all you have to do is open the fridge and get 1 small carrot, and they're like very small. It's like 2 bites for most people.
Right.
So you could say, let's say, after I wake up, I'm going to eat a baby carrot and make it a habit to eat 1 baby carrot every day. Now, the goal here is not for you to get your whole vegetable intake in the morning, for instance. So it's not for you to eat 1 baby carrot, the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and, you know, keep eating baby carrots. But first you get the mindset reframe, because you went from not eating to eating, and it turns out that it, you know, it was not that difficult. And also vegetables, let's say you used to think that vegetables are boring or not tasty. Well, baby carrots are pretty good. So once you get that win of mindset reframe, then you most likely are naturally going to make different choices in general, and you find yourself eating more vegetables.
You know,
so that's it. So mini habits are sneaky like that.
Just to, you know, I think that's such a good point, because a lot of times I hear people who go from It's like driving a car almost, you know, learning to drive a car. If somebody is not active at all and they go, oh, well, I'm going to, you know, I'm not doing anything right now. I'm going to put on running shoes and I'm going to run, you know, 3 miles. And you're like, wow, no, don't do that. Start small. Start just by getting out and walking for 10 minutes and then build up to that. Because a lot of times those same people who go, I'm going to go from not being active at all to going to, you know, trying to do an exercise class for 60 minutes, then they pull a muscle, they hurt themselves, they become discouraged, and then they're back at square one again. So I think it's a great idea to start people off, you know, build up to those points with those mini habits to try and make them, the habit become just part of your behavior. That's your goal, right, Maria?
Yes. So I want to add something to the example you mentioned, like going out and walking for 10 minutes. That is a small habit, but it's not a ridiculously small habit.
Right.
And I prefer, for people, let's say, who dread exercise, I prefer that they start with ridiculously small. 2 squats a day. And the reason is that, let's say, if you're doing 2 squats at home, you don't really have any barriers.
Right.
Like, it's so easy to do them. You can do them in your living room, no matter what you wear. You don't care about the weather. You don't really have to put in time because 2 squats is like, what, 5 seconds?
Right.
Well, with 10 minutes, and especially walking outside, you have to get dressed. You have to put on training shoes. And you have to be out of the house for 10 minutes. So barriers start getting in.
Right.
And, I just want to make this simple distinction that for most people, 10 minutes sounds like a very, very small amount of time. It is, but it still has enough barriers to keep people away from doing it.
No, it's a great point. It's a great point. So I want to again mention Maria. To find Maria, you can find her at fitnessreloaded.com. She's also on all different forms of social media, so you can connect with her. You can learn more about her mini habits. I love the way you phrase that, Maria, the ridiculously small habits. And if you go to her website, you can see some of the blog posts where she addresses some of the issues around food and nutrition. And what I really like about the way Maria addresses them is she really sticks with the science and has really tried to educate herself about some of these issues. So she's become more informed about that as well. Maria, what is there one thing that you would like to kind of get more people thinking about when it comes to exercise?
That it's not all or nothing.
Oh, that's a good one.
And to give themselves a chance and not expect for themselves to go, let's say, from 0 to 60 minutes, for example, right away. To congratulate themselves for even parking a little bit further away from a building, not think that, oh, you know, that was nothing and, you know, discredit their effort. It doesn't matter if your effort is small. Congratulate yourself. I guess that's the second point.
That's great.
Feel
I appreciate
about those wins, even if they're small.
Good for you. Thanks so much, Maria, for joining us on the Ingles Information Aisle. I really appreciate you.
And thank you so much for inviting me.